With that being said, we're just gonna move on, and we're gonna talk some NFL. We're just gonna talk NFL. So,
I know you got some stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. And before we go on to the NFL, I want to make a quick stop at Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Evan Roberts. You probably ain't listening to this, but just in case you are, you need to stop, bro. You need to start putting some respect.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going.
On the Tampa Bay Rays name.
Yeah.
You need to start putting some respect. Man, I know you hurt. I know you're a diehard New York Mets fan, so therefore you somehow root for the Yankees. I still haven't figured that out yet, whatever. But you need to stop, man.
Yeah.
Accusing the Rays of cheating.
Yeah.
And you have nothing to support that. Sit down.
That's funny.
Sit down. Just because your team is trash.
Well, they're fourth place in the American League East. No, fifth place.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care if you're a Yankees fan, a Mets fan, whatever. I am a Braves fan. I will always be a Braves fan first. Yes, I do root for the Braves because they are my home team. But as a Braves fan, I got to give credit where credit is due. This team has not even lost double digits. Now, will they eventually get to there? Yeah, because I think they're like 29-9. So, yeah, they will probably lose another game, or they're probably going to lose several other games throughout this season. But for you to not give them credit, you at first you said, oh, they haven't played nobody. Then they came through and they shut down the New York Yankees. And now all of a sudden they're cheating?
Well,
come on, man.
I want to know. How are the Rays cheating? Okay?
They got
the lowest payroll in baseball. So they shouldn't even be this good. They shouldn't even be this good. And hear me out. What I'm saying is, based on the money they spend and compared to the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, you know, Cubs, you know, Braves, Dodgers.
Dodgers have the highest payroll in baseball.
Yes, they shouldn't even be this good. And they are. They're this good and then some. And the one thing about, okay, if you're a Yankees guy, you already know playing the Rays. You're always going to get A-plus pitching from the starters to the bullpen. This is my observation on the Rays' hot start. They're a young team. There was some changes made in the offseason from a rule standpoint that possibly the Rays are benefiting from. And everybody else around the league should be benefiting from this one particular rule change that banned the shift. So now the Rays, along with everybody else in Major League Baseball, are not allowed to shift on defense. What does that mean? That means if you have a slow defense, you're not going to be that good anymore because you can no longer shift to make up for your lack of speed. and the Rays got a ton of speed. They've always mm-hmm. been a lightning fast defense. They've always had one of the best defenses in baseball, along with pitching. Now, you don't have a shift anymore to stop these hitters from pulling their balls to one side of the field. Now you can pull the ball right into where the shift used to be at, and these defenses can't get to the ball because they're mm-hmm. not fast enough. So now all of a sudden the Rays has had this offensive explosion where they're averaging about 8 runs a game. And they're just running through Major League Baseball from an offensive standpoint, and all while their defense is still top 5 and their pitching is still tops in baseball. They're plus 15 run differential. They have the most home runs ever hit in the first 30, 40 games of a season in the history of Major League Baseball. They got off to one of the hottest starts in the history since like the 1800s. You know, of baseball. I know it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing starting off the season is nothing short of historical. Now, if it was the Yankees doing this, the Red Sox, nobody would say nothing.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, nobody would say nothing. And they, you know, it'd be business as usual. They got one of the highest payrolls. This is what's supposed to happen. But because it's the Rays, and I'm gonna add to this the Baltimore Orioles, who are 24-13. They were, you know, the Orioles was one of the worst teams in the division, but they're a young team, and they may be benefiting from the changes to the shift as well, because they have speed. They, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, you look at the rest of baseball. The Braves are still excellent. Miami Marlins are 500 through 40 games almost. That's probably it's been a while since they've been good. But here's the thing. The Miami's are 19-19, and they're minus 54 run differential. That probably won't sustain over the long term. You can't be a minus 54 and be a 500 team. That's an anomaly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Chicago Cubs are plus 48. They're 18-19. One of the highest payrolls. Yankees fan, don't be mad. Like, you're still a good team. You're just not as good as the Rays. I mean, you haven't been as good as the Rays the last 10 years. You haven't, last championship you won was 15 years ago. Hold on, let me make sure I'm right about that. I heard this on the radio, so before I, time. One. It's been a while. Let's see. Last time, 2009. Yeah. I mean, 14 years was the last time you won a title. 2009. That was the year the Rays actually. Is that right? No, that was the year after the Rays went to the World Series. Rays went to the World Series in 2008. So, In the last 14 years, who has the better record the last 14 years, Rays or Yankees? I'm going in now. Last 15 years compared to Yankees. All right, so. Last 15 years, and they're just going to do head-to-head records. So I'm going to have to research. I'm going to have to look this up. I'm going to have to look this up the old school way. All right, so this is an article in 2001, but it says Yankees and Rays own the AL East best rivalry now. And this is 2001. I mean 2021. In the past two seasons, the Yankees won is it right? 125-74. And the Rays are 123-76. Almost exactly the same record against all other opponents, with division largely hanging on who performs better in the head-to-head matchups. Let's do this the easy way. All right, let's do this the easy way. Rays record in last 15. Then I'll do Yankees. So in the last 15 years, let's just do last 10. That's probably, because I can look that up even more. So last 10 years, it's so difficult, bro. All right, so last 10 years, it's retarded. Okay, so last 10 years, I'm just going to read them off. Last 10 years, so that'd be 2013, Rays have get my calculator out. 2013, 92 wins. 2014, 77 wins. 15, 80 wins. 16, 68 wins. 2017, 80 wins. 2018, 90 wins. 2019, 96 wins. 2020, that was the shortened season. And the year they lost in the World Series, 40 wins. Mm-hmm. 40 wins.
Mm-hmm.
2021, they won 100 games. 2022, they won 86 games. So in the last 10 years, Rays have 809 total wins in the last 10 years. That's not counting the wins they have now. And since the Rays changed their name from the Devil Rays to the Rays, they have exactly 1,296 wins since 2008 with two World Series appearances and eight times they made the playoffs. So let's go to the Yankees. This is why Yankees fans are mad, because they had the biggest payroll, you know. So remember that number, William, 809.
809.
All right, so the Yankees record the last 10 years, we're going to go back 2013. I'm sure they've won more games, right? I mean, it's the Yankees, but let's see by how many. So 2013, 85 wins. 2014, 84 wins. 2015, 87 wins. Oh, they're not getting off to a good start here. 2016, 84 wins. 2017, 91 wins. 18, okay. 2018, 100. 2019, 103. That helped them big time there. 2020, 33. 2021, 92. And 2022, 99. So in the last 10 years, you know, when you factor in the payrolls or whatnot, and they haven't been to the World Series. They haven't been to the World Series since 2009. So they got 858 total wins in the last 10 years with probably a couple billion dollars worth of payroll. I'm sure they done spent a couple billion dollars in payroll over those last 10 years. Yankees fan. It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
Yeah, you guys only have 49 more wins than one of the lowest
payrolls.
One of the lowest payrolls
over that 10-year period.
Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy either.
Well, you know, there was a movie that came out, and actually, I actually just bought it again. I'm not sure what happened to my other copy, but it was called Moneyball.
Yep,
and it deals with the Oakland Athletics and how they went and won the World Series on one of the lowest paid payrolls in Major League Baseball, folks. That's all Tampa Bay is doing.
Yep.
But the reason that I'm sorry for getting off track, but I had to say something. The reason that I had to get off on this tangent is because, you know what? People just need to respect what is happening. Okay, now if something comes out later that says, the Rays were cheating. They were pumping themselves full of steroids and all of this, and they were using this. Say, okay, then I'll say, you know what? Yeah, that's not cool. They deserve to be punished. But right now, there is nothing to suggest that the Rays are cheating. And Evan Roberts, you as a journalist, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, you should.
Plain, pure, and simple. Plain, pure, and simple. But that's all I got to say on that. Like I said, folks, I apologize for getting off on this little sidetrack. But I got some beef.
Yeah.
With that's
I think it's irresponsible. I think it's wrong for a journalist to start spreading lies just because you're upset that your team sucks and the team that you poked fun at for all these years. It's been drumming your behind over the last 3 to 4 years. We've been beating the brakes off of the Yankees the last three 4 years strong, and you don't have an answer to why your highest paid team in baseball, one of the highest paid teams in baseball, can't figure out the measly old Tampa Bay Rays, the team everybody picks on, the team everybody, you know, spends so much time talking about, oh, you know, mm-hmm. Tropicana Field, and it's such a dump, and the stadium is trash, and the area around Tropicana Field is not safe, and the stadium need to be moved to over here and over there. Between all that, guess what we just keep doing? Keep beating. Keep winning. And this season, another thing that I think is major. Major League Baseball adding that pitch clock and speeding up the game times.
That's a game changer.
To nearly a whopping, I think these games on average around baseball not even lasting 2.5 hours now. Before?
No, they're not.
You go to a baseball game, game start at 7 o'clock, you're not walking out of the stadium until probably 10:30, 11. Now these games are... These games are ending starting at 7. You used to be able to, I don't get there until, 8 o'clock. It's about the second or third inning. Now, you the game started at 7. You walk in at 8, bro. You could be in the fifth inning. You'd have missed half the game. The attendance numbers are up from last year, at this point.
Yep.
By like 3,000 or 4,000 people. People are showing up, not just the Rays, but, all around baseball. The game is sped up. It's more faster. There's more action. A lot of people complain about all the downtime in between pitches and all of that. So, people are watching. People are going to the games because they're not, they're lasting. They're shorter, so the excuse can't be, well, if I go to the game, I'm not getting home until midnight. Now, if you go to the game, you may be home before 10 o'clock. I mean, it's a win. It's a win-win for, the fans, going to all these games. It's a win-win for Major League Baseball and the team organizations that's enjoying having more fans in the ballpark because – the game is sped up and it's more action going on instead of, an hour and a half of downtime. So at the end of the day, baseball made changes that benefited and helped bring fans to the ballpark. And that's been a struggle over the last, years because of, the games taking so long. And, it's healthy, for the game. So, the Rays situation, they probably benefited from this change in the rules the most because they're winning games, they're scoring runs, and you have more fans attending the games. The Yankee series that we just had at home, for the first time in about 5 years, they opened up all the seats in the upper deck, the 300 section. And every single game in that Yankees series had over 30,000 in attendance. And that's been a long time since they've done that, even with the Yankees. So that's just telling you right there that, the people are there. The fan base is there. The people are showing up, and that's just supporting the Rays, being in this area, and that's also supporting, the ballpark being where it's at and giving them more confidence that, hey, we can build a new ballpark over here in St. Pete, and the fans will show up. So, no more of these lazy excuses of everything that people been saying over the last, 10, 15 years since the Rays been trying to get a new stadium. all them excuses are over with. You can't really use them no more because people are showing up and simple changes that, you know, baseball made that help that situation. So we'll see as the season go on, the Rays keep, you know, if they keep winning, you know, attendance will keep, people will keep showing up. And, you know, it's still around the bottom of the league. Why, you know, because they're in, you know, when the upper deck is not open, you only could get about 25,000 in the stadium when the upper deck is not open. So, you know, regardless of, they can sell out 25K a night and it still probably be just middle of the pack. For attendance, because all these other stadiums around the league got 40, 50, you know, 60,000 fans that could get in these stadiums. Mm-hmm. You'll never compete with that. But for this area, you know, 25,000 is, you know, it's good.
It's respectable.
It's respectable for us. So, in the new stadium, whenever they decide to build it, it's only going to have about 25,000, 30,000. That's it.
Well, you know, I mean, so the thing is that when you go and you look at when you build stadiums or whatever, you have to, I mean, you almost have to look at the market. And, I mean, I really don't know if moving the stadium over to the Tampa side or whatever, I really don't know that is going to increase any of the attendance. And, you know, and I really, this is why I've really been cautioning this whole thing of everybody wanting the stadium over there by Amblee Arena and stuff like that. I mean, maybe it might increase by a couple of thousand.
Yeah, but it won't be a humongous increase like some people saying, you know, 10,000. Nah, it's because you've been in this area. I live in this area, and I live, like, right off the highway. Right off the highway, just before you cross Hal Franklin into Tampa, I'm in that area in St. Pete. And I, you know, let's say it's 5 o'clock and I'm going to a Rays game and the stadium is downtown. Normally, I can get in my car, you know, hop in the car. This is normal. 5 o'clock without a Rays game in downtown Tampa, 5 o'clock. I hop in the car. It could be 6 o'clock by the time I get downtown. And I'm literally probably 10, 12 miles from downtown Tampa.
Yeah.
Now, let's add, because you have to do this, let's add 20 more thousand cars going into that area for a Rays game. Added on with 5 o'clock rush hour. It may take me an hour and a half. I can get to Orlando in about 2 hours, 80 miles. It may take me an hour and a half to get 12 miles to downtown Tampa.
Exactly.
I mean, you move a stadium into Tampa, it's a guarantee you're going to lose the same amount you gain, probably coming from Pinellas, Sarasota counties, you know, Manatee, because people come over from there. There's no easy way to get into downtown, you know, Tampa from down there, even if you go the opposite way.
Well, and especially where they're talking about putting it at, putting the stadium in at.
Yeah, right.
Over
right
there
that
by
channel
Eagle
side.
Arena.
Yeah, that's.
Let's talk about that for a second. Okay, you and when I say where I'm at, what I'm talking about, you're going to know exactly where I'm at. You're going to have to build. You're going to have to build another exit ramp just to get into there.
Yeah.
Because that highway is not going to be able to hold all them cars.
No.
There ain't no way.
No.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So now
you're going to have to build new roads going into and from that new arena.
Okay.
You're going to have to. That new stadium.
But here's the thing. So now you put that down, and now you have a whole nother problem, because now you're dropping 10,000-20,000 cars over on Channel Side, which is already busy enough the way it is.
You can't handle it. I mean, bruh, you can't handle it. I mean, it's Saturday afternoon. There's nothing going on in downtown, and if you're coming from like I-4 Orlando into downtown, bro, you're in bumper to bumper traffic from there all the way to about Dale Mabry. So it's like,
if you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, so, and that's nothing going on. So you're talking about infrastructure upgrades to the roadways. They've already done those.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do them again for a new stadium.
You would have to.
So I don't see. And that factors into stadium costs, not just building a stadium, parking, infrastructure, drainage, all that stuff. So you're talking about a major, major project here over in Hillsborough County, and they're already talking about they don't even have the money to fund a stadium. So, how many times you gonna say it's need to be in Tampa before you realize that, they don't really have the funds like Pinellas. They could build a stadium and it won't cost us anything because the money already there. It's been there forever. It's not going to cost anything more than what everybody's already paying. So it's easier for Pinellas St. Pete to do it because they get tied into, things that's already there for stadium infrastructure or, upgrades to community upgrades as far as, rebuilding the whole district that they're going to do with this new stadium. They're going to tie all that in, and it's been there. People been trying to explain this forever. It's the money's been there. The problem is getting it approved, because every time they go to get it approved, it goes to a referendum, and people just vote it down because they don't understand. Like, the financial aspects of it, they don't understand it. So they just think, oh, it's going to cost me more, I'm not voting for it. And it's really not. In 2008, they wanted that waterfront stadium. It would have costed us less than $200 million to build that stadium, on the waterfront using the old Allings Stadium site, which the stadium is already there. It's just doing a huge refurbished project. That's all they were going to do. It was going to cost us about $200 million to do all that, and we'd have had probably the sharpest stadium in the whole country. But nobody understood the financials of it, and people just voted it down, And this is where we've been stuck at since about 2010. So, you know, St. Pete, we got a new mayor. And, you know, negotiations, they, you know, conversations started between the Rays and the new mayor of the city. And it was like smooth sailing. They got it, you know, something figured out to where by the end of this year, an announcement going to be made. Now, and really all they're figuring out right now is just small details. Like the big stuff is done. Funding, all that stuff is done. It's just minor things that the two sides have to agree to, and this thing could be done. And it's all going to be tied into a refurbished project that they're going to do with, you know, in a low house. I think it's housing, businesses, and a whole, you know, that whole, basically the whole Tropicana Field site, parking lots and everything from 16th Street to 9th Street, that whole deal is going to be remade into a major business district with corporate businesses, housing, and a stadium, a brand new stadium that's going to sit right in the middle of all that. I seen the renderings of it. It's freaking... it's amazing. Like, the renderings are done. The contractor that they've already selected, you know, a company that's going to do all this building. I mean, it's nice. And, you know, it's pretty. I'm not going to say it's a done deal, but they're about, last time I read on it, they said it was about 75-80%, like, to the finish line. So it's just, you know, ironing out minor details, you know, financial stuff and, you know, all of that, to where by the end of this year, they'll make an announcement. Hopefully it's good. And they'll probably break ground and start building next year, because this thing has to be done by 2027, and we're in 2023, so it's going to take about 3 years to build this stadium. So it's got to be done before that lease on the Trop expire, and then boom, it'll be there. I'm excited, man. I mean, I've been saying for years the Rays need a new stadium. I mean, it's just, the Tropicana Field is, I think it was built in 89, and it's the last dome of its kind left in the world. I think Tokyo, there's a dome in Tokyo that's made, that's the exact same design as how they built the Trop. The Georgia Dome in Atlanta was a similar design to how the Trop was made. So it wasn't a whole lot of, it's been outdated for a long time. And, you know, the Bucks got Raymond James Stadium. I mean, the Glazers had to threaten to move the Bucks to get Raymond James Stadium done. I mean, it happened with with the Bucks. And now I was hearing something about, them saying it's almost time for a new football stadium. And I'm like, hold on, man. Huh? I mean, the Rays scratching their claw to get them a stadium built, and you trying to tell me you ready to build another stadium? Raymond James only like 20 years old. 96, 2006, 16, almost 25, 27 years. But that stadium is beautiful. Even though it's been 2006, man, that thing is almost going on 30 years old. But if you step foot in Raymond James Stadium, bro, it don't look like an old stadium. That thing still look like one of the best best stadiums in all of, especially outdoor stadiums. I mean, it's not gonna compete against, you know, all these brand new stadiums that's getting thrown up because they're brand new. But even compared to them, you go to Raymond James Stadium, bro, it's still beautiful. Like the design, the architectural design of Raymond James Stadium is one of those type of stadium designs that no matter how long that thing standing, it'll never get old. It'll never get old walking in there and seeing that pirate ship, sitting up there. And the design of it, the way they designed it, there's not a bad seat in the house. Even if you're sitting up in the third level. And it still looks fairly new. It doesn't look run down or anything like that. You're in Florida, you're dealing with the elements, tropical storms, hurricanes. It still looks good, man. So I'm pretty sure they'll get one. Probably within the next 10 years, I would think. And it'll probably just get moved over to the next parking lot. They're not going to move the Buck Stadium from its current location. Even if they built a new one, they'll just move it over into the next parking lot, probably where the old Sombrero was at. Build a new one over there. Tear down Raymond James. Make that into the old parking lot that it used to be before they built Raymond James. They'll just keep doing it like that because there's no, as far as the Bucks, they have the prime location, for a stadium. There would never be a football stadium in Tampa Bay, not in that area. Somebody will be crazy to come along with a stadium plan that'll move Tampa State, Raymond James or whatever, just an NFL stadium out of that spot.
Man, do you understand how fast that plan will get shot down?
Oh, it'll get shot down in a second if somebody say, hey, I got a stadium designed to move it downtown. You'd be like, what? No way. I mean, University of South Florida, and listen, folks, we're almost through this show. We haven't even talked football, which I think is good. I mean, we'll get into it, next week. But University of South Florida just got approved an on-campus stadium. But they're building.
About time.
Yeah, they needed it. I mean, they're a college. Right, you got to have an on-campus, stadium. They have a arena for basketball, but they don't have, they use Raymond James Stadium for football. I don't know if you've seen the renderings of this thing. Now, they're not just building the stadium. They're building a complete athletic complex. So it's going to have a football stadium there. They're going to have their own volleyball stadium there. They're going to have their own. Obviously, the basketball arena is still there. It'll be, in that same area. Beach volleyball. Like, let me see if I can go to this thing. Because I remember a few last year sometime I was talking about this. They're building some of it right now, too. I think the stadium won't be done until, 2026. 26. Let me see. Okay, so here it is right here. Cuz it was approved last year. So they're already building pieces on this thing. Let me see if I can find the renderings. It's a major project, though. I need pictures. I want to see pictures. Because this thing laid out, man. When I saw it, I was like, whoa. They said once they're done, it'll be probably one of the best looking strain, you know, of athletic facilities in all of college. They're currently building an indoor practice facility now for the football program. Let me see this.
Oh, so they going all out.
Oh yeah, they going all out, bro.
They doing some USC, some UGA type stuff now, huh?
Yeah. So here it is. Where is the freaking? Man, come on, bro. I just want to see the renderings, bro. Come on, man. Help me out. USF Athletics Master Plan. Is it? Yep, here it is. Okay, so let me see if I can blow this thing up. All right, so they have the current, you know, basketball center. They're building a baseball and softball stadium right next to each other. So it'd be like a complex with a baseball stadium, and then the softball stadium will be on the exact opposite side. They're doing a standalone soccer stadium. Leroy Selman's athletic center, that'll be going up. That's the late great Leroy Selman, who was integral in getting USF football.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to have an indoor practice facility. Dude, I mean, all of this is like right next to each other. The indoor practice facility is currently being built, and they got two outdoor full practice fields next to it, field turf. The soccer stadium would be next to that. They got the a standalone track and field there as well. They have baseball and softball. I said that. Beach volleyball courts, beach volleyball courts. That'll be like right on the other side of the basketball arena. They have, the baseball and softball, the performance facility. They got a golf. I think it's not a full 18 hole golf course. It's more like a, practice area for the golf team. So that is there as well. The all state-of-the-art weight room. That's the women's locker room. That's probably going to be inside of these, arena. Tennis courts. For tennis matches and, practices is about 12 courts, 12 tennis courts. Track and field, I said that. And they actually have a volleyball arena for just volleyball. So each sport will have their own own site, which is crazy. There will, nobody would be sharing anything. I mean, it's huge, dude. It's a lot. It's a lot, and like some of it, they've already started building this, and the stadium will be completed by 2026 season. So that's just 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's just 3 years, and I read something to say they want to try to get it done even sooner. So it could be ready in 25.
Man.
That's going to be a game changer. That'll put USF in the conversation of legitimacy as far as recruiting and just overall, you know, being able to up the level of their sports programs. Because, you know, that's a selling point for a lot of kids, you know, facilities. So when you can tell, hey, we have our own, you know, stadium on campus, you know, that's an experience. Like, you know, Michigan, Alabama, you know, LSU, Clemson, you'll have true home field advantage and be able to fill the stadium with what most, you know, colleges do with their students. So you won't be in Raymond James and can't get enough people in Raymond James because you got to drive from Fowler Avenue, which is where USF is at, all the way into, you know, Raymond James Stadium, which is probably about, on game day, you're talking 30, 40-minute drive for the students. When, bro, once you get that thing on campus, they just walk from their dorm rooms to the football stadium. And you probably have a sellout every game.
Oh, yeah, because you can't tell me that the people that attend those games that are over there in Tampa are not going to drive over to the football stadium and everything like that. Look, I live right down the road from Notre Dame Stadium. Let me tell you.
Oh, man, I bet you that's a madhouse.
Oh, man, I don't even go near South Bend on game days. Nope, nowhere near it. Because, their parking lots start right by the stadium, and they stretch all the way across the street.
Dang.
Their parking lot goes off of campus. And you know what? It's still every single game.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. We talking about Notre Dame, a college football institution, and USF. But I know that USF has droves of loyal fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, so...
And this rendering of this stadium, bro, it gives you, it gives you Raymond James vibes. Like, it's set up. The way they have it set up is similar to Raymond James, where you got the two, mm-hmm. you got the two north and south ends that are open. So it's,
yeah.
And then you have the seating around the sidelines, but instead of it being more, you know, where Raymond James is more like straight up and down, it is more of a football shaped type of stadium, and the seating and the seating is around, and the two ends are open, two end zones are you know, open seating. Well, not open seating, but they're open. And people probably be able to sit on it because it's just grass, so they'll probably have it set up to where people could you know, sit out on the grass and chill out, you know, while they're watching the game. Who knows? But this design is freaking, it's a really good design. It's similar to Raymond James.
Well, from the way it sounds like that USF is about to be a game changer as far as varsity athletics and stuff like that, because seriously, how many colleges have their own golf area?
Some of them probably do, but a lot of them probably just use, you know, the local, you know, facilities, you know, around the area to go, you know, practice and stuff mm-hmm. like that. With USF, they'll have a little practice area where they can practice their, you know, driving and, you know, putting and all of that stuff right there. So you won't necessarily need to, you know, go to some of the areas unless you want to do a practice round, 9-hole practice round, or, you know, play a mm-hmm. full 18. So that'll be nice. I mean, I think the last of the project, I think it would be the stadium. Everything else is being built up first, because those are smaller projects than it would be for, you know, building a football stadium. So everything else, that'll be the last thing that they do to complete that transition into having their own facilities. But I'm excited about it, because, you know, they need to put them at the next level where you can keep the local kids and stop, you know, losing, you know, the local kids to the bigger, you know, schools. That'll definitely help, you know, keep some of the kids home, because we got a lot of kids from this area that, you know, the great football players. But they can't match them, these bigger, you know, they can't. Obviously, the facility aspect of it has to be better for them to get the major recruits. And then you got to win football games. So hopefully by the time this is all done and the new coach we just got from Tennessee, you know, hopefully if he's still around, that means some good things are happening with our program. And, you know, by the time they get this stadium done. So, yeah, man. Brad, we at the end of the show, man.
My bad, bro.
Hey.
My bad.
You say, hey, I just want to say something real quick. hey.
Man, listeners, I sincerely apologize. I did not expect it to take this turn. I did not, but you know what? This is why I love this show, because we don't have a script. We say that all the time. We just go wherever the conversation goes.
Yep.
And tonight was a perfect example of that. Yes, I was just going to make just a quick calling another person out for their lack of journalism, in my opinion. And it turned into a conversation about stadiums. Once again, listeners, I sincerely apologize. I promise you, next week we will talk NFL.
Yeah.
you know, there is a lot going on and everything. But no, again, listeners, I really sincerely apologize.
Hey, you know, sometimes it is the off season, so you know, we can't take a week off from we've never done that. We've never had a show where we didn't, you know, spend some time on at least on the NFL for 30 minutes. That's never happened. So
it
ain't nothing to apologize about, bro. I mean,
man, we
you know, the conversation was great, and I'm pretty sure the listeners appreciate it. I mean, you know, at one point we did talk a lot of baseball on the show when we had Blake Cole, you know, on the show, and we talk a lot of basketball. Normally when Nicholas Lane is not on the show with us, you know, our basketball is short, but we managed to put 2 hours in talking about the basketball, and then we put in another hour talking about baseball, and that led to the stadium conversation, and then it led to the, you know, USF stadium situation. Yep. So, hey, it's all good to me, man. I you know, sometimes it's got to be like that, but that's what, like you say, that's what makes us different. There's no script. I'm not gonna stop a conversation, a good conversation, short and say, hey, man, I wrote this stuff down. We gotta cover it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If it was like that, then, I mean, man, we 90% of our best conversations would never happen.
Yeah, it would never happen, especially some of them, you know, hour-long rants or, you know, left-field correspondent unfiltered for about 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Where we just sat there and laughed why this man just went unhinged on the show.
Man, I'll tell you what. And I still believe this to this day, that some of the best talk radio that has ever been on is when me, you, Nicholas Lane.
Yeah, we can't be on. We can't all be Sean on the show at the same time, man. We don't get anything accomplished.
But man, it makes for some of the best talk radio when all five of us are on, especially at the same time, which is a rarity. It is gold.
Yeah.
You can't beat it. Like there, you cannot sit there and put another talk show, another sports talk show up against us when all five of us are on. You can't do it. I challenge, you know what? I'll give you the entire week. I want you to think of another sports talk radio show that even competes with us.
I don't know, man. I can't find it. I mean, yeah, I can't find it. I'm not even going to try to guess because that's not happening.
Exactly. But once again, listeners, I do apologize. You know, like we just got done saying, sometimes it kind of goes off into a different direction. But we do appreciate you guys. We really do.
Yep. Yeah, we do, man. And I'm sure, you know, next week, Nicholas Lane is working on his Anthony Bennett All-Stars article.
I am very curious
and
to see what five he has on there.
Yeah. Yeah. He gave us a little hint. He didn't give it away, but he gave us a little hint. So it should be interesting. So he's working on that. When he's done with that, he'll be on and we'll go through it like a fine tooth comb. Yeah, next week you'll hear me and William Graves, and hopefully we can get Boss Hogg to join us if he got a couple minutes. So with that, we're going to get on up out of here, man, because it is that time. And we do appreciate everybody for tuning in. And we will catch everybody on the flip side next week. Same place, same time, Rat Pack Sports Show live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, we in the building. We'll be back next week. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you next week. We out of here, man. Peace.
Peace. Don't